Welcome to the Semper Reformanda podcast. John is still messing with stickers and trying to get something to stick on the end of his microphone.
That's right. Trust Christ to calm down. Now you can see it on the SR app if you watch the video. So there you go.
Yes. So before, in the like, I don't know, 30 seconds that whatever the word is, unfolded, transpired, elapsed, whatever, between the regular episode and now, John and I were briefly considering how Christians and the church have kind of lost our ever-loving minds here in our context. And so we're going to talk about that a little bit more in ways that we've kind of lost our bearings and maybe the antidote for what ails us.
Well, you know, I have to do this every week to myself, to my congregants, to my brothers and sisters in Christ. But it, Justin, it's like, man, you know, anytime I find myself in a disagreement with my wife or another believer or family member, you do have to sit back and say, why am I so disappointed? Like, what happened to me?
Why am I so worked up right now?
Right. And it's like when you stop and assess the situation, you realize that I put my hope in something that I shouldn't have. And there's nothing wrong with being disappointed. You know, my children disobey or, you know, someone breaks into my car and they violate my privacy, all that kind of stuff. You could be disappointed in that, but it shouldn't ruffle your feathers to the point where you can't function. Yeah. You know, you are in utter despair. You feel as if you're suffocating and drowning. It's like, no, man, your hope is firmly in Christ.
Yeah.
But if you find yourself suffocating, if you find yourself like, John, I can't get past this. Like, I just cannot function. That's where I don't want to rebuke you. I want to wrap my arms around you. Mm-hmm. I want to restore you in the hope of Christ and the joy of God. And let's talk about how the covenant-keeping God does not fail you. Amen. And this world, which he did not promise would give you anything, is God's prophecy about the world is 100% accurate.
Yeah.
It's falling apart. And his promise about your salvation is 100% accurate. It's secure in Christ, which means that his promise about what is to come, like think about it. He is accurately prophesied about the world. He has accurately fulfilled his promises. That means the revelation and the restoration of all things should be trusted. He is going to do it. So we can either live our life in constant disappointment, trying to pursue something that he never promised, or we can listen to his promises and truly do find joy in the midst of disappointment, in the midst of suffering, in the midst of disheartenment and heartbreak.
Yeah. Number of thoughts popcorn around in my brain, man. One is some stuff I was talking about with Mackenzie, who's on staff with me here at the church, even this morning. I mean, just processing our lives, our marriages together, you know, in ways that we're struggling or things that are disappointing us. And I just was reflecting with him about this very thing. I mean, which is part of what even prompted us to have this recording today and talk about what we're talking about today is I know that I am getting upset about stuff because I'm obviously putting a lot of hope in things that are of this world. And many of them straight up are insignificant and silly. It's all about stuff that I want. It's stuff that I want to do or whatever it is. And I get really disappointed sometimes, especially in seasons where I'm a little bit weary anyway. I think we get, we're just, when we're tired, when we're worn down, we tend to just be even more selfish and we tend to be thinking even more about what we need and what we want. And we feel justified in doing that. And then when we don't get that stuff, we're ticked and we're hopeless. We're despairing. We're whatever. We're dejected. And so it's clear, you know, that we all are putting hope in things that we should not. Oh, that's one. Mm-hmm. Two, theology of the cross is important here. And by that, for people that aren't as familiar, the theology of the cross as compared with or opposite
of. We have an episode on it. You can go look up. Theology of glory. Type in Theocast cross and you'll find it.
Yeah. And so what a theology of glory emphasizes is just what it sounds like. Glory, triumph, strength, improvement, all of that. And that's what the Christian life is about. Whereas the theology of the cross is different, where we understand that for now, this side of the resurrection will be weak and will actually suffer. Things will be hard. And we tend to look for God in all the wrong places because God actually uses the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. And the weak things of the world to shame the strong, right? But we struggle with this because we want it to be glory now. We want it to be better now, when in reality, we have to embrace the fact that this entire pilgrimage called the Christian life is really fits in the paradigm of temporary suffering and then eternal blessedness, right? Or we might even say it's a big extended version of like short-term sacrifice for long-term gain, you know? But we don't like that. I don't like that. You know, it's like, well, I kind of want the pillowy bed of rest right now, circumstantially. Like, it's great that I have rest in Jesus, high level, eternally, but give me something that's going to change my circumstances is what we want as a human. And it's like, that's coming. That deliverance is coming. It's just not here yet. And so what we have now is to cling to the hope that is secured for us in Christ as the creation groans and we groan along with it, awaiting the redemption of our bodies. And this is why we say we are not to build heaven on earth. We're to wait for the new heavens and the new earth in the church.
But yeah, in many ways, we are to be building God's kingdom, right? Christ. You know, that's the mission. But the thing is—
You know what I mean.
No, I know what you mean. Yeah. I know exactly what you mean. I think that the Christian life we are to live in constant disappointment, but never hopelessness. You're going to live in disappointment, right? Mm-hmm. Your body's going to fail.
Because you're going to want stuff you're not going to get.
That's right. Yeah. Your body's going to fail you. You're going to watch people die. You're going to suffer. Yeah. We are not designed to live a life of suffering. And human beings are optimistic and we pursue pleasure because it's part of our nature. There's nothing wrong with pleasure. Man, that's like, I like to eat good food because it's like pleasurable. I like to walk out in nature because it's pleasing. And I was designed to be that way. Like, that's how God designed me to be. And then the disappointment is that, you know, unfortunately, because of the curse of this world, I'm going to be disappointed. Yeah. But I think that one of the things that drives me, and I know that drives Justin, is that we aren't just living in this world like, well, it's doomed, so we might as well just like grab a cigar and watch it go.
That's right.
No,
have we're a bourbon grabbing, on the way down. Yeah.
That's right. We're grabbing our Bibles and saying, listen, this isn't hopeless. Like, right. I have this drive to help people say, there's more. Oh. There's so much more.
I mean, basically, brother, I mean, this is an illustration biblically. My hope as a pastor for myself and in my congregation is that we would have that kind of Lamentations 3 approach where it's like literally everything around us is terrible because the world's cursed and it's fallen and nothing's really all that encouraging, maybe circumstantially, but these things we call to mind and therefore we have hope that the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases and that Jesus has saved us and we know what's coming. I mean, that's the Christian life in a nutshell. Is that we're doing that. So far from, well, guys, you know, everything going down, let's burn this thing down and let's just enjoy what we can while we're going there. Let's batten down the hatches because it's all headed to hell. No, we are encouraging each other. We're imploring people, trust Christ for righteousness and forgiveness and absolution, for eternal life. And now let's love each other because we need each other, but ultimately we're loving each other to help each other cling to Christ because he's our savior. You know,
that's good.
I mean, that's what it is.
It is. And that's why the whole purpose of Semper Reformanda is for this reason, is that we would understand that what we're trying to accomplish in this podcast is that you may get done with the original episode and be like, man, this is like, okay, well, this is kind of disheartening. And it's not. Like, I feel like I have more energy today and I have more excitement today to continue to preach the resting message of Christ than I ever have before.
Yeah. Same.
What's your alternative, man?
Bro,
we've already heard the prosperity gospel and watch it fall flat on its face.
Well, there's a new movement, John. I mean, prosperity gospel is a little bit different. It's a different stream, but even in evangelicalism, there's a new movement all the time. I mean, there's a new thing to get excited about every 2 years, if that's what you need. That's exhausting to me, the fad-driven Christian life or whatever. But I'm with you, bro. Like, what else you going to preach? I mean, what else you got to give people? Other than Christ, what else we got? Nothing, right?
We're trying.
We try hard. We
rinse and repeat. It's like politics and morality. And it's like, how many times do we have tried to watch this fail? I know, but yet we rinse and repeat it.
We do. I mean, it's like we've seen these movies before, even in the history of our country, which, by the way, is not that old. Mm-mm. You know, I mean, and through the history of the church, we've seen these things. Like you said, they're recycled, they're rinsed off and repeated. And we take things effectively. We take things that are sometimes good and worthwhile pursuits in the common kingdom, and we try to baptize them and preach them in Jesus' name. And that's it's right. unhelpful. It's super confusing. And anyway, we can have responsible conversations about a lot of this stuff. And there are things that the scripture teaches about some of these things, but that's not what people were preaching in the pulpit. People are preaching hope. You know, like hope and peace and, you know, conquering evil and all this craziness as it pertains to the government or as it pertains to the family or the nuclear family. It's just like, yeah, not helpful, guys. We need to preach Christ and then say what the Bible says about this other stuff.
The number one commented video that we have on YouTube is the one I did on is the vaccine, the mark of the beast. And there's a constant conversation going on there. And there's a lady who posted last night. She's like, wow, I just took the vaccine and now I'm doubting my salvation. And bro, it's unreal the things that we can find to just absolute shatter us. I listen to people like talk about the politics, whether it's vaccine or COVID or whatever. And it's like the world's coming to an end. And I love the stickers because it's like, listen, trust Christ.
Bro,
and calm down.
We would all be helped.
He's in control, y'all.
Yeah.
He knows what's going on. Herald the message and accept your death. The ship's going down. There's no reason to panic. There's no reason to freak out. There's no reason to think that it's, you know, something bad's going to happen. It's already happened. It's called the fall. And Christ has you. Mm-hmm. Now trust him and just be okay with what's about to happen, because in the end, we're all going to be fine. It's all going to work out just fine, but not here.
And
not
give your energy toward, I mean, obviously there are other things I could say here, but give your energy toward other people in helping them trust Christ. Mm-hmm. Like give your energy to encouraging other people to look to Jesus and cast themselves upon him. And that I mean, of course, in talking to people that don't yet trust him, evangelism. Mm-hmm. But of course, I mean that ultimately in the people in your own church. I mean, the Christians that you live life with, right? And I don't care how healthy your church is, you can do this. Mm-hmm. Like point people to Jesus and put your energy there rather than being so worked up about everything else that Jesus is just kind of assumed. Because I think that's what we usually do. It's like, well, yeah, we all agree about Jesus. Now let's talk about this. And that's not a helpful posture.
No.
We need to be reminded.
We don't all agree about
Jesus.
No, we don't.
We don't. And bottom line is, in as much as all of us have meant to trust him and we all might agree on the gospel, we tend to forget that thing practically, the gospel that is. We forget it because we're bombarded with all these other things in the world. It's like, why in the world? I mean, I know this has been said by a million people, but maybe not a million, but a lot. People that say, I agree with this. Why in the world would I want to go to church to hear about politics? Why would I want to go to church to hear about this societal movement? Why would I want to go to church to hear about A, B, or C when I'm bombarded by that all week long? I need to go to church to hear the one thing that I can never hear anywhere else, and that's that Christ has forgiven me of my sins and that I've been counted righteous on account of his obedience for me and that he's secured bodily resurrection for me, and that's the hope that I'm called to live with him forever in a redeemed earth. I need to be reminded of that stuff.
That's right.
Unashamedly when we get together and when I'm around other believers.
That's right. And we need to be constantly clarifying it and protecting it. And unfortunately in modern Christianity, because we haven't clarified the gospel and it's unclear, we have now started to change it and all kinds of bad stuff's coming out, like final justification and a mixture of law and gospel. And this is why Theocast has tried our best to recover the Reformation. And thank you for being a part of Simple Reformanda, because you too are here to help protect the gospel.
Word.
And that's all I have to say.
Yeah, we're trying to remove clutter that's been thrown on top of it. Because that effectively is the conversation we're having today is all of the clutter that's been thrown on top of the gospel and all of the other things that people, even in the church, are pointed to in some form or fashion and are told, you need to give your energy to this in Jesus' name, and you need to put your hope in this in some way. Because when we get there and when we accomplish that, all will be better. And it's unhelpful. And so that's really the mission. Yeah, that's the mission of Theocast, is to remove that clutter, to make the gospel clear, to uphold the diamond that is the gospel of Jesus Christ, and encourage all of us to look at him and consider him, trust in him, hope in him, find rest in him. So
I think we need a new wristband that says TCCD. What does that stand for? Trust Christ and calm down.
I mean, it could be TC ampersand.
See, oh, there you go.
It could be. Trust Christ and calm down. Anyway, yeah, yeah, who knows? We'll see what happens with that. Brother. I am trying to. thank you to the faithful listeners out
squirrel.
There. I'm encouraged as I even have been on the SR app more in recent days. I've got it on my computer now. I was having trouble getting on. Things are changing in my world for good, for the good, I hope. Encouraged just to see the community growing and sincerely thankful for your support. You know, even as John and I've talked in recent months, and I've been talking a little bit more with my own local church about Theocast and in more direct ways in members meetings and things, and just really encouraged with how the Lord has grown this, and pray that the growth continues so that more and more people can hear about the sufficiency of Christ. And you guys are what make that possible. Your partnership with us is much appreciated. So,
amen.
Trust Christ.
Hear, hear.
Calm down and tune in again next week. Amen. Amen.
Preacher.
See ya.
See you next week.